Untapped Talent on CliffCentral.com.
So welcome to it. This is Untapped Talent with myself, Sia Sangwenifin, right on CliffCentral.com. Thank you so much for having me on. Now, this week is actually going to be a very special edition of the show. Now, before we get all sentimental, and actually let's just get sentimental, Untapped Talent began back in 2014 for me. And I remember it was created as a way for the station to just simply accommodate auditions. There were people who wanted to be on-air personalities on the station. So we said, sure, come on, let's have an hour and let's just chat. I remember it was just a show between myself and these auditionees. We were together in studio. We were having the most random conversations. But as random as these conversations may have been, I began to notice that this was actually more than just a show. Untapped Talent began to become this cornerstone of what the station believes in, which is shining a spotlight on young individuals and giving them an opportunity to go after their dreams. So after our lineup was cemented and filled, we had no space for further additions. And literally, I believe you me, we had many an email to send out to explain this. But we shifted our talent focus. We changed it from just on-air hopefuls and engaged with more talented youngsters. Everyone from photographers and singers to sportsmen and bloggers. Heck, I've even interviewed a ventriloquist at one point. But week after week, I got to sit across inspiring individuals who had an extraordinary story to tell. And as diverse as these occupations may have been, the common thread was all the same. Someone just simply taking charge of their own lives and living out their dreams. And that is how we've now ended up here. After much thought process going into this, I've realized that there is true power in telling the story of building that dream as well. Discussing how you realize the moment of opportunity, how to really grab that moment and how to own it and how to go and make a success of it. Now, for the longest of times, I battled with who could teach this lesson effectively until the obvious hit me when I watched the journey of the first graduating class at the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy for Girls. Now, no pressure to the ladies I'll be speaking to in a little bit, but I knew after telling their stories that there was really no other lesson I could still teach on this very platform. And so even though I may be moving on to focusing more on the Gareth Cliff Show and all that is still to come my way, I hope the lessons shared on this last edition of the show remain with you for a lifetime. So join me for the last time on Untapped Talent as I discuss building a dream with two graduates from the Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy for Girls.
Untapped Talent on CliffCentral.com.
So let's get straight into it. I'm so excited to chat to these two lovely ladies. I have joining me this morning, Miss Givens Khosana. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
I'm fantastic. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
And then we also have your partner in crime, and now the lovely lady.
Hello.
Miss Lesego. And I had like eloquent lessons with your surname. Sabanyana.
You were right. You were almost there.
Yes, but what did I do wrong?
Sabanyana.
Sabanyana.
Ne.
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 Ne. Okay. Yes. You need to take it from the gut.
Yes.
What does it mean?
I remember asking my aunt what it actually means, because I thought maybe it meant something to do with stabbing. Which people assumed. And then she was like, no, it means small grey mountain in Setswana. I may be wrong. She may be wrong too, so I don't know. But she was like, it means small grey mountain.
Yes.
It dates back to when my family moved into South Africa. They live maybe next to a small grey mountain, and they figured, ha, Kamanyane.
Yes.
That's our surname.
I love these origins. You just can never go wrong with a true origin story.
Yeah.
So ladies, I'm just so excited to chat to you guys, because I feel like you have such a unique story to tell.
Yeah.
With extraordinary lessons learned along the way. Mm-hmm. But more than that, you're just here as well at the end of the day. And I think the world's perception of you is sometimes slightly different to the reality of the fact that you are just young girls.
True. Precisely. Yeah.
And you are young South African girls. Yeah. And you may have had this great experience, but you're also human.
True.
Exactly.
And you make mistakes and you learn along the way, and you're still just trying to put one step in front of the other and you move on.
Yeah.
So if we were to go back, I don't even know how to tackle this great story. When you go back to January 2007,
This is almost 10 years ago.
Wow.
Almost a decade ago. Can you believe that so much time has gone past?
Yeah. I can, because I look at the jeans I used to wear and the jeans I wear now. And I'm like, okay, it's like, been 10 years.
It's been 10 years. It makes sense.
It makes sense. I get it. But I think what people don't understand, especially about Given and I, is that we are friends. We are friends. We are very close.
Yeah.
And we've been friends even before the school. That's why I'm saying it's been 10 years, because we met in 2006.
Yeah.
And then when we went to the school together, I remember just looking at her and being like, we made it.
Mm.
People thought we wouldn't.
But
and
we
made it.
Yeah.
Regardless of whatever was going on in both our lives.
Because
we're both raised by single parents. We both had our own issues going on in our lives. And I remember just Given's energy when I was... Because they'd all been together and I hadn't been in the school. And then when I met her, she had the best energy of anyone that I've ever met in my whole entire life. So that moment, and I was like, I have a sister, because I don't have any siblings. I'm an only child. You can hear it in my voice. I'm very spoiled. And then I remember, I was like, I say it with pride.
Exactly.
And I was like, thank God I have 73 other people to go through the journey with. It's I'm not by myself.
When you bring up the note of you made it.
Yeah.
I want to go back to, how old were you guys then? 13?
13.
That 13-year-old girl.
Yeah.
Because I really do believe, as much as education is important, it's being able to open someone's mind and to make them see things in a way that they've never been able to see before. Now, when you grow up in a society in South Africa as a young black girl, when education sometimes, in some instances, isn't placed as the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Your mindset and the society's conditioning is now that, well, there are low expectations anyway.
Yeah.
If you fall pregnant at 14,
exactly.
You know, if you end up just living at home, it's like, How do you, where were you guys in life? And what was your mindset as a 13-year-old? Just living in Soweto, and you now, before we even get to Oleg, how was your life back then?
So for me, before Oleg, I was literally just trying to find my way, you know, trying to figure out high school, where you're going to go. The thing about before Oleg is that I knew that life would work together for my good at the end. I knew that, you know, I was going somewhere, but I wasn't really sure. I wasn't really sure how to go about it. And I think the thing that made me stand out in primary school was how I randomly started writing motivational speeches and saying them in the assembly. And that's how it started.
What was that?
That's how it
started.
That
is like immense faith.
That's how, because, you know, before I went to Nkatuto, I went to another primary school.
Mm.
And my experience there was, you know, really unpleasant, to say the least. And here I am at a school that encourages you to be yourself, to speak your mind. You know, it's not all the time that you'll come across a primary school like that in the township that encourages young people to do more, to be more, that pushes you. So when I got into that space, I realized that I wanted to write about what I had gone through. It's amazing. You know what? I can't even put it in words, because what I remember was lunchtime, grade six, and I just took a pen and I started writing. I started writing my story before coming to Nkatuto and started talking about how I felt and how I was feeling now. Like, you know, I felt like I don't belong. I wasn't as confident. I don't have the power to do like all these things, but you have the power, you know, you have people that support you. And I was amazed at myself, because I was like, wow, okay, girl, look at you.
Yes.
But it's amazing. Like, for me, I think there's always a force, a power, God, that is greater than I am, that's always guiding me. So I think with that's what that felt like.
But how's it like to be in an environment, you know, the realities of living, for example, in a township, when you have the sense of self and the sense of faith, where you see others and you go, but that will not be my life. But you are operating in that reality.
Exactly.
What does that do for you?
Exactly.
I feel it makes you... It creates a lot of I don't know if this happened forgiven, but it created a lot of, you didn't feel like you belonged. I grew up in Soweto, mm-hmm. but I felt for a long time that I didn't belong, not in Soweto per se, because that's where I live, but I didn't belong in the mindset of Soweto from a young age. Like, I remember when I went to Nkatuta, I was already reading books. I was already involved in a lot of things. And people were like, but children from Soweto can't speak English. And I was like, I can. I didn't have to go to a Model C school to learn how to read Tom Dickens books or anything like that. I went to a school in Soweto. But I also felt like I had to learn how to be Lesego, Wakukasi, and be Lesego. And I had to straddle two worlds all the time. And I felt it constantly feels like you're on a knife's edge and you're going to fall over one side or another if you don't learn how to straddle. And then I think when I went to Oleg, it became even worse. Because then it was like you're straddling two continents now.
On either side of the spectrum, identities. Yeah.
It's ridiculous. And people don't, when you go back home, and because people, we didn't just go to school.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we're in Katsudo, they didn't just teach us A, B, C, D. They taught us how to be women, how to dress, how to talk, how to create a package. When people see you and they're like, I don't know what she's going to say, but she looks like she's going to say something meaningful. And I feel like that's the education. And then when you meet other people, it's they didn't get that. And you're like, oh my God, how do I dumb down in a sense? Yeah. How do I dumb down and not come across as condescending? Because sometimes when you say something, people are like, that's a little patronizing. Yeah. That's a little condescending. So it was, for me, it was a struggle.
But I think that's remarkable in the fact that the fact that you guys didn't lose motivation and you didn't lose your willpower in an environment that wasn't like you.
True.
How did you retain that?
Yeah, I think for me, the thing is everything that I am, everything that inspired me at the time, everything that pushed me was based on my surroundings.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it's always observing what's going on with the young people that surround me, you know. So it was always a thing of realizing that, okay, there's adults. Okay, at the time I was in grade 7, you're seeing someone in grade 12 and you can see that, you know what? Things really aren't looking that good.
The grass is not green.
They're doing whatever it is that they want to put their mind to, and it's really not working for them.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the unfortunate circumstances, you know, that were happening in my midst while I was in that environment were what always had me thinking, you know what? You have to do better than this. You have to push yourself and get out of this kind of circumstance so that you can come back and you can change it for the better. So that was the mentality going to Oleg, and not just the community, my family as know, your family is what you're thinking of. You know, the beauty of the academy is that everyone has a story to tell.
True.
And when you hear, over the 5 years that we're there, when you stop to hear some of the girls' experiences and you're like, I didn't have a clue.
Mm.
And that's one of the things that we learned, that you don't know people's backgrounds. Mm. You can't just be negligent with the things that you say or how you treat them and stuff. So for me, going into the academy, I had my community at the back of my head. I had my family. I had my experience growing up in an impoverished, you know, community and family, and everyone always saying, yes, you poor child, getting blamed for stealing people's lunches just because your family can't afford. Mm-hmm. So you the one that took it, you know. And also, I have a body, you know, so then you have people calling you fatty.
Oh, God,
People calling you fatty. You're dealing with people calling you poor. And that was my driving force. I was like, oh, okay. Right. Keep them coming. Keep them coming. I'm going to use them. And I did. And I still am. You know, that's the beauty of these experiences. True. Because then you can make them work in your favor. Turn the lemon into lemonade.
Hello.
With a lot of sugar.
Hello. Hello, cliche.
With a lot of
hello.
Sugar.
Hey, hello. Okay.
But, you know, I really do have to say that words have so much power.
True. They do.
And as much as in South Africa we face a lot of unpleasant situations, I think sometimes And I'm speaking from a perspective of a young black male, and I know I've been privileged and fortunate and blessed in so many aspects of my life. But my fellow young black brothers, sometimes some of them just lose mere motivation by the simple fact that they've already been labeled. You walk into a room and people already have a certain expectation of you.
Precisely.
If you don't do well in at a test, they're like, they aren't surprised.
They're like, ah, of course, that's why it's a dry.
So that is the narrative of our society sometimes. How did you guys not fall into that pattern? And more especially, how did you learn to keep yourself up, you know, your head above the water in those situations?
I think for me personally, I have a family that grounded me a lot. They brought me back to earth a lot of times. But the one experience that I'll talk about that's when solidified me keeping my head above ground was when I met my math teacher, Mampolanga. And Mampolanga was like, Lesego, do you realize, Hore, there's 100 special children here. You're not special anymore. You're not great anymore. Like, Konkatsuto, you are a star. You're not a star here. But you need to make sure that people say something about you. Whenever it doesn't matter what, they need to be like, oh, Lesego, utlapile. You look so beautiful. Like, people didn't have to know that I was poor. I didn't have to dress poor. Like, wake up in the morning, brush your teeth, get dressed in whatever it is that you have. Make sure it's clean. Rub it down. Do whatever it is that you need to do. Poor shouldn't be a state of mind. A lot of people are poor. It's not something new. Poverty is not new. But once people get into a state of mind of, okay, vele, that's what they think about me.
You fall into the story of your life, though.
You do.
You fall into the story of your life. And sometimes it is so easy to do that.
It is.
You know what? I can actually relate to that because, like we're saying, that it's very easy for people to have an idea of how they think the experience was, but nobody really knows the gist and the detail of it. I fell into the trap when I got to the academy.
Hello.
Because when I got there, I was very confident. Overly, to some degree, you know. Hello. And then you have your academics telling you, sorry, Bobo, you're not that great.
You're not that great. Not special.
And then you have, like, over 100 other girls who are also like, hey, I'm also great, you know. So when all of that was happening, it wasn't necessarily that you're thinking, oh my God, no, I can't do it. Sometimes there were people in the environment. I've had people say, you're not going to make it. It's not for you. You can't do it.
Yeah.
I've had it. When I was young, I had it through my time at the academy. And in your face, you won't make it.
True story.
And the power that words have is just, I can't even describe it. Because then, as a child, I'm coming into this environment. I'm very vulnerable. I'm already struggling academically. I'm looking at you as an older person to say, okay, you know what? Give it your all. But no, you're saying the opposite. So I'm obviously going to take it in. I'm obviously going to think, oh my gosh, that was part of the reason why I struggled so much. Because I do have people on the one side saying, you know what? You can do it. Mom Oprah was literally so worried,
your
like
biggest fan
on the phone, like, given how you're doing, you can do it. But the power of words and negative words at that, this one person said, you will not, and everything else that
it's so funny how, you know, one negative comment
changes your whole entire life.
What is it? Is it just human nature?
It's
because you can receive 9 great remarks.
You'll but be like, that one thing.
But that one thing.
I think it's that also that thing that you don't believe that you're special enough. So even if people tell you you're awesome, you don't believe it. But when someone says to you, you're not that great, you believe it. Because for me personally, it's something that you grew up with. Because then people in your neighborhood would be like, oh, but you're not that great, hey. Yeah, you went to the school, but like, you're not going to last, hey. Oh, you went to varsity, but you're not gonna get a job, hey. So it's learned behavior. Our parents learned that when people put them down, that's when they believed them. So they taught us that it's okay. It's not okay to shine. That's what I felt.
I think it wasn't okay
to shine.
What I've learned over the years, just looking back at the academy to now, is that even though we're not perfect, like, someone can say something now and it may get to me, but what I've realize and what I've observed is that it's really never about you.
Never. It's always about that person.
You. If you say, given you're not good enough, you're not going to make it, it's not about me. It's about you. And even at the time, looking back, the adult or the adults that said, she's not going to make it, I suggest she does something else, I suggest she goes to another institution. It wasn't about that. It was about the fact that they could actually see the potential that was there. They could see the becoming of who I would possibly become. And instead of helping me through the struggle, the hurdle, it's just like, let's just put it down just to make sure that she doesn't get there. For what good reason? You never really know. But it's never really about you. It's always about that person. So you have to understand what could possibly, you know, make them say that.
Yeah.
And when you understand that, oh, okay, it's intimidation.
True.
It's jealousy. It's envy. It's anger. It's wanting to talk to you but not knowing how to go about it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you know that, okay, you know what? I won't take it personally because it was never about me to begin with.
Then I think that is extraordinary that you've realized that now.
Yeah.
Because, so many people are still taking things in.
Yeah.
The way I'm looking at it now is maybe it's just part of the learning experience. Yeah. You'll never be immune to negative words.
That's true.
You'll never. Yeah, it's all good and well. I read a quote the other day because I'm just trying to better my life.
Aren't we all?
And said something along the lines of, as big as the ocean is, a ship will never sink unless it lets the water in.
Yeah.
And that is what negative words should be to you. And I was like, no, actually, that's not true.
No.
I think the way in which you take those words and once you analyze and you realize the fact that, okay, yes, I may be loud. And so, this is the way I am. Precisely. I'm not going to change. And you move on.
Mm-hmm,
it's about how you actually interpreted that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it speaks so much about your mindsets and where you are and the conditioning you receive, but also the lessons you learned against that conditioning, even at the young age of being 12 and 13 years old. So you were, of course, doing well in primary school. Mm-hmm. You were excelling academically.
Yeah.
Some girls were writing motivational speeches.
Hello!
Yes.
Okay, girl.
They were out there flourishing.
Yes.
Some of us were still eating crayons in primary school. Others were
That's
writing.
That's adorable.
Listen.
Given was a special child.
I was.
So when you heard that, I'm not going to call her Mom Oprah as well because I feel like, you know, I'm.
You're with
you
me.
Know her.
I'm in the circle.
You're in the circle.
So when you heard that Mom Oprah, even before then, just this great talk show host, entrepreneur.
Hello.
You know, I'm now saying this great speaker, businesswoman from America is now making an investment in South Africa.
Yeah.
And you heard about the school and you heard that she was, you know, building it and all the plans going into place.
Mm-hmm.
And you heard that she was looking for girls. Did you ever think I can be one of them?
Yes, definitely, all the time.
Wow, listen,
I'm so sorry. I remember the first time. I remember when we got the application forms.
Because when did it happen? The school opened in 2007.
Seven.
But of course, the planning
it started way before,
like 2000. The planning was already in 2000 when Oprah had met Mandela.
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
And he was
yes.
I need you to do this and this and this.
I love that story.
Yeah.
When did it start? 2006, the process of recruiting.
Yeah, the process of recruiting started in 2006.
Because the story behind it is Mom Oprah visited Nelson Mandela at his home in Uno.
Mm.
And she spent 10 days there with Stedman as well. And she always says, and by the way, I hope
with
she
Daddy
keeps
Stedman,
to this.
By the
Ooh,
way.
Daddy just Stedman.
So that people just know out there in the world.
Okay, I really want to keep it
No, man, we call him Uncle Stephen.
And she always says that spending 10 days there and having 29 meals, if she were to ever write another book, she'd call it 29 meals.
Mm.
And I really hope she does. But it was a conversation around how can South Africa change? And
how can you
know,
make it better?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know, between herself and Madiba, they realized that education was the answer.
Yeah.
So that's how the school came about.
That.
So when recruitment came about in 2006, Lesego, you already like...
I knew. I remember they got Given and the other girls in our school got the applications a day before me. Yeah. I didn't get the applications.
So were, okay, I'm assuming the OLAG team was going around to certain schools.
They were sending to schools and handing them out application forms.
And then was the teacher, up to the teachers to identify certain people.
So the teachers were like, oh, given is great, you're getting an, and I didn't get one. And I don't remember why. Mm-hmm. And I remember I went to my previous school before I went to Katutu, and that's where I got the application form. And they were like, no, we save this for you.
Wow.
Like she called me, she was like, let's go come in. I don't care if you miss school tomorrow, you need to come in and get this application form. And I got it and I went home and immediately I was like, Papa, do you know I'm going to the Oprah school? And my dad was like, you're going to the what? I'm like, to the Oprah school. She's like, no. And if people watch the initial video, because there was a building the dream before building the dream,
yes,
you will see I say, come hell or high waters, I will go to that school. So I'd already conditioned myself to go to the school. Mm-hmm. I told myself.
Now, hearing words like this, and I'm really not trying to buy face because you guys are sitting in front of me, but this is what I understand Mom Oprah was talking about when she said that it factor.
The it factor. Yeah.
Because with ladies who are in an environment at that young age to say, I understand what is happening around me, but this is not going to be my life.
Yeah.
When you hear of the application process and you say with conviction, I'm going to be part of it.
Yeah.
I'm sold.
Yeah. Like for me, it was the first thing, like not even the application. I saw that, like, okay, fill out your name if you want to go to the school and stuff, you know. For me, it was like, okay, let's see how this goes.
Mm.
And when they were like, okay, you have an assessment, then I was like, oh, wait a minute. There might just be something here. So when we went to the local high school to go write the assessment, that was when, for me, it hit. Because they literally gave you a blank piece of paper and they were like, draw a house and say something about this house.
I remember you had to draw your dream house.
That was the assessment.
There was other things, but I remember the first one was draw your dream house.
And for me, that's literally, this is like, you know, when you say these things, people think you make them up, and really it's not. I think it's who you are. It's the it.
Yeah.
You know, that you don't even know you have.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time it was, don't take this for granted. Mm-hmm. Don't just draw some house saying, okay, you know what, I like this house, I see myself. I made sure that I told and I described why I wanted this house.
So what did you draw?
And it was a huge house. Like, it was a huge house. And I talked about I was writing, I don't know, like my typing, it was so small because I had so much to say. That, you know what, this is where I am. My family and I are struggling at the moment. I've seen my mother struggle so much with me, you know, trying to do the best she can for my sister and I. I've realized that, you know what, this is an opportunity for me to change my life for the better.
Mm.
And this is the house I know I'm going to build for my family once I go into the school. Because I understand that the school is going to give me the resources that I need, the knowledge and the skills to be able to go out into the world, work, and be able to get this for my family. So when you came out of the interview, I mean the assessment, everyone had their own thing. And I remember one of the students, I don't know them, it was from like another school, like, I be easy, how, why did they make us draw like a house and stuff, you know? So I was like, that's the thing, that it wasn't just the house. They're trying to understand the story behind the house. You can't just draw. That is obviously.
So that is. Like, that is, it just so made sense to me right now.
It's about the vision.
That's what you needed to understand when you were looking at that piece of paper. That they're not asking you to get creative and
they don't put see in your the colors.
No, they want to know why this house. What's the story behind this particular house? And that's when it clicked for me, not only for the application and the process, but for my life, to say, you know what, this is why I'm doing this. I'm doing this for my family. I'm doing this for myself. And later on, I'm doing this for my community. That's why I'm doing this.
Sure.
So that's that.
Lesego, what did you draw?
I remember I drew a very simple house, but I remember I filled my house with people because I'm an only child. And it was just me and my dad for a long time. And I was like, my experience of life would be so much better if I had sisters with me and brothers and people who were constantly around me, because my only experience was my dad and school, but I wanted other people. And I drew people around. It was a very simple house. It looked like my house. It had like windows, yes, a little door in the front, a door in the back, and yeah, like a shady garden on the side. It wasn't an amazing house, but I filled it with people because that's what I wanted in my life.
Yeah.
And then the academy, like, it just made sense to me. Yeah. That's what I got. I wanted people in my life, and I got powerful, like 107 sisters out of it.
Yes, yeah, way more than you
bargained. Way more. I do like two people, and I got 107. Take won't he do it?
Won't he just do
it? Won't he do it?
Who needs the Kardashian sisters?
Hell no. I have 107 sisters. I don't have time for the Kardashians.
So I need to understand, you go for this assessment at a local high school, and then what's the time frame till you get an answer? And what answer do you get after a while as well?
We did the assessment in like October
of like 2006.
Yeah, it was towards the end of the year.
Way better than mine.
Yeah, it was we did the assessment in October, and then I remember it was during the holidays, like right before the holidays were about to end. No, in September. During the 2 weeks in September.
Yeah.
We wrote it right before those 2 weeks holidays, and I remember we were home, and they were like, no, remember? 15
and
girls.
Then we went to St. John's.
Then we went to St. John's.
There was a whole process.
There was a
after the assessment. Yeah. It was St. John's. St. John's.
And what was that for?
It was literally everything. So they were basically assessing you as a person.
And who's we got to meet Oprah.
Where do you come from?
Now, is that when you met Mom Oprah there for
was
the
a,
first time?
It was
she
the showed third up. Time.
She'd come, like, for the first, she'd already been to our school a few times.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd already met her. And then on that time.
So what was your thought? Sorry, I need to get into that. When you see this lady on a little screen, you know, every afternoon.
True.
And now she's in your classroom.
It was so surreal. I remember we were sitting down and they were like, okay, Oprah's going to walk in. I remember we were like, we're going to ask the best questions.
Yes.
And no one's good. If and someone tried to
our names read, before, because she was like, "Hey, let's say I got
given." Yeah, so we were like, "Hi, hi!" And people were like, "How Oprah Wauteba?"
What's
it about? And you're like, "Oh, yes, duh."
Sorry, just a quick question. How did you not like melt onto the floor?
Listen,
no,
we're just like,
"Hello." Our heads were so. And I remember you and I were sitting. We were sitting together.
Yeah, together.
And then be like, "Oh," and she literally she walked into the classroom. She was
like, "Hey,
Gibbon." And we were like, hi.
Yeah, because it's totally normal.
Yeah, it's so normal. It's almost passé for us. It's like, oh, it's Oprah.
Really?
Whatever.
Yeah.
But I remember inside I was, I don't know if I can say this on air, shitting myself.
You must have.
Because I was like, okay,
yeah,
right after hello, what do we say after that? Because I remember when she was coming into our homes and I was showing her around Uncle Tom's and I was like, what am I going to say to this woman to not look like an idiot?
So, Mom Oprah, in part of the process, also goes and visits you at home.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She did.
Now, it is one thing to prepare for your neighbors coming over.
Oprah comes. They had to put like black plastic bags over the gate.
So
it was serious.
Why did they have to do
that? They shut down the whole street. They literally, I remember the camera crew, remember Botolile, they went into the homes and they were like, we have a very important person coming in. And I, like, in retrospect, I feel like they shouldn't have done that because then people were like, oh, I wonder who is it?
Yes.
All just waiting.
So they had to ask for permission.
Yeah, they were like, we want to shut down. We want to shut down between the hours of 6 and 11 because shooting was...
Yeah,
I didn't
intense.
Shame. I feel for celebrities who are always in the like shooting and stuff.
It's ridiculous. Really hard work.
The cut and stop and do this.
And do it again. One more time. One more time is
ridiculous.
Never more time. One more time. One more time.
And they shut down the whole street. And then she drove into the street. And people were like.
So you knew it was happening.
We
but as you stood and you saw that car roll up.
Listen.
God, no, when
were
everyone
you ever
else
ready?
Saw, well, you were never
no.
ready. And people were like, it's Oprah! It's Oprah! Oprah!
Because I'm trying to just put myself in those
it,
shoes.
It was.
I'm just getting hot just
it's
thinking about
ridiculous.
It.
You sweat.
It's more than just, oh, a huge star coming to visit us. But this is now... the realization that this could be the person who literally changes
our
life.
Exactly. I think at that moment when when we, Given and I were called, and a few other girls, and they were like, oh, Oprah's going to come to your house. I was like, oh, we got this. Why would Oprah come to our house if we didn't got this?
Yeah.
We
yeah.
got this.
Yeah.
And at that moment, I was like, I wasn't worried because I knew she was going to make it. I wasn't worried because I knew several other girls were going to make it. I was like, hey, did Oprah call you? Okay, you're going to the school.
Wow.
Don't even ask any questions.
So what does Mama Oprah do at your house? Does she ask for tea? Does
We went to go buy Gouda.
Yes.
Like the following street, and we bought Gouda. And she was like, oh, is this what you genuinely eat every day? And my dad was like, no, she's lying. We don't eat Gouda. she's just trying to impress you. She knows what she's supposed to cook in the house. Today she's not cooking. Because I remember the camera crew had given me money, and they were like, do you want to cook or do you want to go buy something to eat? I was like, I want to buy something to eat. Like, I do it every... My dad was like, why you sapecha?
Yeah.
Why you sapecha? Oprah utli le kontlung. Why you sapecha?
Yeah, she must represent.
And I was like, because... Oprah's here. We ain't trying to feed her no pup, though.
Yeah.
But I remember Jilla Kota, and she was like, oh, this is really nice. It's like bread. And I was like, yeah. And then afterwards, she was like, can we go get a burger somewhere? And I was like, no, that's fine. And then we went down that famous road in...
Oh, Villagas.
Yeah.
Villagas Street.
And then we went to go have... And I'd never been there before. And I was like, oh, I'm even here with Oprah.
Bonus.
Kevin, was it the same for you?
No, it really wasn't for me, because I think the first Building Your Dream that they had, mm-hmm. you know, Lesego was actually a part of that. But for me, it was more behind the scenes. Like, yeah. I didn't do the whole... her coming to my place and, you know, and stuff. But I knew, you know, I was like, no, she got me. I get it. Yeah. Fine, you know, my first encounter with her was when we did the third interview, which was with her.
Mm-hmm.
That's when that she was when was
meeting one on one.
Yeah, that's
was
when
Gail also there.
She was yeah, there she as was. Well, you know. But when you went into the room, that's who you were sitting in front of.
Wow.
Like, Oprah just there. Well, for me, that's who was there. Like, Gail wasn't sitting there or anything. Mm-hmm. And my ears, guys, I will never forget the heat. My ears were on fire. Like, that's when you know you are overwhelmed and nervous at the yeah. same time and excited. Because I sat there, and she was very welcoming. She was very warm,
mm-hmm.
you know.
She had a bottle
and
of water.
She had a bottle of water. So she was like, are you okay? Do you need some water? I was like, you know what? Yeah, let me have a sip before
let me
I talk to you.
Some of that water.
Like, let me get some you know? Water. And she was, because of her presence, because of just how down-to-earth she is and how motherly the feel that she has to her, it was very easy for me to just speak from the heart. And I think that for me was when I knew that, okay, you know what? I got this. I'm going into the school. Sure. Because I was able to be genuine in telling my story and in telling her why I want to go to the school. And, you know, she also asked me, what if you face challenges? How are you going to deal?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I told her, I was like, you know what? I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and say to you, okay, I'm going to make sure that I call you and I tell you that. No, I told her. I was like, you know what? I trust myself well enough to know that I never give up. That's all that I can tell you. I don't know how I will deal, but I know that I will, because I have a fighting spirit.
Hello.
And so with that, I'm confident that no matter what happens in the school, I'll still be able to pull through. Mm. And that's exactly what happened. I got there and I struggled for 2 years. I struggled for 2 years.
Mm.
And she was there, like, the entire time. I'm not even going to, you know, downplay how much she did for me in that time.
Mm.
Because she was on the phone every week asking to speak to me, asking to see how I'm doing. How are my classes? Am I getting the help that I need? Have I read the book that she recommended? And at the end of the day, everything that I had said to her at that interview is exactly what I lived up to.
True.
I made sure that even though I'm struggling, even though I feel like giving up, I have a mother waiting on me to make something of myself so that I can take her out of the situation.
What I like is that so, that you is know, a commitment of the heart.
Precisely.
You know, you are not forced to sign anything. Precisely. It's not necessarily a contract. You aren't putting money on it. It's a commitment of the heart.
Exactly. And I think more than anything, she realized the sincerity. She realized how genuine I was in saying that. And I received her energy as well, you know. That's when That's when I knew. Lesego knew in the beginning.
True.
I didn't, you know. I was like just going with it to see how it's going to go. But after that day with her, after you know, just the embrace after the interview, I was like, there's something here. There's really something here. And from there, that's when she came to the school and, you know, she was mama.
Hello.
So this is so incredible.
It's really been, like, people see it and they think, oh my God, it's really been a journey. It's really been a long time coming. It's we've known her for the longest, you know, and
10 years.
It's been a while. And the thing with her is all she wants from you is just sincerity. Just mean what you say. And if you say that's what you're going to do, then do it.
Then do it.
If you can't do it, then say, I don't think I'll be able to do this, you know. So that experience with her at that particular time just assured me that, okay, you know what? Going to the school and just knock it.
Yeah. But I'm sure you've gone through all of these emotions and all of these phases, but it is, you know, that's one thing. But it's another to now drive up to the estate. And you see Oprah Winfrey Leadership Academy for Girls, and you see the logo, and you walk in and you act, wow. How is that? Because now you are, I don't know which girl specifically said this, but there was a girl who marveled at just having her own bed.
Yeah.
And it's true that there was really like a ban on how long you spend in the shower, because it's just amazing.
No, that because was ridiculous. Struggle, okay? Because that people were really doing ridiculous things.
No.
Okay, I remember.
No, you cannot be in the shower because for 30 minutes when we wake have up to be in school
at 5:30 in the morning. Like, so remember we had a hall monitor.
So we just got so loud. Yeah. It's such a sensitive issue. Like,
it was so sensitive.
But that shows how much of a like a shit it is. Going to the school.
And then people, literally we had a whole moment. I remember wake up time was like 5:30, and then they'd ring the bell to wake everyone up.
Yes.
And then people would stand, they'd put like their towels behind the shower.
To say, I'm number one.
And they'd be like, I'm number one. And then it's like 5:30 and 6:15, number one is still in the shower. And you're like, what are you still doing? Are you swimming? Are you swimming?
You are swimming in the water.
And then by the time you take a bath, it's like it's ice late. Cold. Wow. And you're like, what the hell is going on? And breakfast, I remember they had to take out tomato sauce from the table because, remember, everything was drenched in tomato sauce. Potatoes, bread, every single thing. And then they came to us, they were like, girls, we're taking away tomato sauce from you because you guys are a little bit extravagant when it comes to the tomato sauce.
Folks, you know, I understand.
Yes! We were excited. Yeah. I lived in the house. Tomato sauce was something you had in December. It was special.
Wow. So for me, it was a shower. Like, I was like, okay, you know what? This is ridiculous. I actually don't like this. Like, this whole thing that, like, water is just in jail. Like, yes. I feel like I'm not getting a proper bath. I want I want to see. Let me see the water. Let me see it stored somewhere. Let me see myself. Just this.
Is hot.
This is not bathing. I know what this is.
The devil.
What? Because you know what? It is not just a school.
Precisely.
That's the truth of the matter. Yeah. It's not just any other average school. Mm-hmm. You are in a different world.
True.
And I'm not trying to make it sound like, you know, the Wizard of Oz.
No. It was a little bit like a different world
that makes you the main priority. That puts you first.
Yeah, I think for me, it just goes back to what you were talking about just now. Like getting to the school, seeing the logo.
Eating the food.
Listen, you were never ready, okay? Like, my mom's personal chef on some. I cooked everything for you.
Oh,
and you're just like,
that first meal.
What
was the first meal?
I remember
before everyone went to the school, there was the first 15 girls to be selected. And I remember we were part of the first 15 girls. And we had like a high tea at the school.
Mm-hmm.
And there was the first time I'd seen macaroons and crumpets. And
oh my
I was like,
and you can have... Like, imagine
and they were like,
all
you can have
sugar.
Whatever,
like, just
you,
have whatever
want.
You want.
And I was like, but what if I'm full? And they're like, you can take it home. I was like, hello.
Hello.
Hello. Donkey biscuit. Donkey biscuit. And we were throwing stuff into our bag.
Wow.
And it didn't feel like people were judging us. Because the chef, I remember Chef Alts was like, let's say ho. you look like you can eat. And I was like, you know me. You know me. And she was, I've got some mac and cheese in the back. You can take some home, girl. Take some home.
That is crazy.
It was, you know what? I really wish, like, I think you can never really take away how the experience was coming. It was... It was magical. Surreal is not even the word. It like was you're going in there and they saying, okay, right, we basically have a schedule for you guys. So you're just gonna go put down your bags, you have to go to the gym, get your clothes, and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah.
Like,
there was a mall. We had a mall.
We had a mall that day.
A mall.
Yeah, there was a mall and like they shut out the whole gym. They had like clothes. Then they were like, okay, is this okay, this is yours. You need to go get your name tag on it. And I was like, my clothes have name tags and they belong to just me. That's really
it was
we had a toiletry shop.
Because by then though, what reality sets in, because as great as it is to now have macaroons, to have Chef Art Smith for you, the reality is there is now an expectation of you to not just succeed,
excel.
But to excel. So stick to the schedule. You know,
you just
go
sounded
to the gym.
Like Oprah in that one moment.
Right?
I promise
I
you. Yeah, you. You, it I'm feels like you were that. Right there. Because that's exactly what she said to us. She's
I'm
like,
not ready
for that. I've given you everything you could possibly need to succeed. Mm-hmm. Now I expect you to excel.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly what she said
but to
us.
But that is not easy, though. That
it
is not
isn't.
Easy. Because
it
now,
is not.
When you wake up that first morning, you realize you're away from home.
Work.
Away from the comfort of your family, your friends, that support system.
The food.
And, you know, it's now not about the food or the tomato sauce or how many pieces of cutlery or crockery you have.
Yeah.
You now
have
to
work.
Push.
Work.
How was that?
I think... Given and my experiences were different because Given and I were in the same class 8-0 in the beginning, and people were like, "Yeah, 8-0 is for the smart children.
Yeah,
that's where all the smart children are." And I remember I was very cocky. Mm. I was like, like if people really know me, then it wasn't hard. It wasn't difficult for me at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I took to things very, very easily. Mm-hmm. So academically, there wasn't a very big struggle. My struggle for me was socially because I innately am a tyrant.
Mm-hmm.
I've discovered it like now, but innately I say whatever I want, whenever I want, however I want. So my struggle for me, so... I also had the same relationship with my mom, Oprah. She was calling me every day, but she wasn't checking on my schoolwork. She was checking, was I nice today? Lesora, did you say anything mean to people today? So that was my struggle at school, was adjusting to not being the star anymore and people not listening to just me and trying to work hard on not being... a mean girl, because that's really what I was, because I knew I was special and I wasn't going to let anyone else tell me any different.
But you know, that's what I love. That was your development.
That was my
development.
And that
development.
Was your journey that you had to
I had
learn
to go
and
through.
And grow
through.
Yeah.
If any of my English teachers are listening to this, I'm sorry. Because I was a little, I remember, I was like, why were we reading Romeo and Juliet? How come we can't read any black authors? How come my English teacher, Miss K, wherever you are in the world, I'm sorry. I didn't know.
We'll send this to her.
Oh, please.
A sincere apology
so
at the end of it.
That was my journey with this school.
Like I said before, it was really a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, you know, Lisa was very social. Like people think I'm like.
Oh, I've come to know that.
You know what? Like people think I'm extroverted and I'm like out there. It takes me a second. It really takes me a minute. And when she got to the academy, she was able to just, you know, maneuver and make friends and everything. Like for me, I think it was just a cultural shock as well. Like, listen, it just went bad. Like it went left very quickly because. It was the school.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the social as well. I was reading books on how to stop being depressed. Like I was getting books out of the library on how to deal with adjustments, how to be better, how to, you know, they had
what
all these.
What was it particularly? Was it the fact that you are in a new environment, that you did not have that support system you used to have?
Yeah.
Can you pinpoint
it? I think for me at the time, it was really about the self more than it was about the external environment.
Mm-hmm.
It was an internal battle of coming into an environment that says, you know what? You really are good, but you still have to, you have some work to do. You don't know as much as you think you do.
True.
So for me, that was my struggle. Like, I thought I knew everything until I got there and until I got into the classrooms and they were saying, right, basic, let's just see where you are mathematically. Here's a sum. It was very easy. Exponents. I had no idea. I literally stopped writing and I was like, I started crying.
I remember.
Crying was my life, like for the longest, because I was like, I don't understand. This is very frustrating.
Because that is now breaking down it's what you thought of yourself.
It's literally just like, it's the opposite of everything I ever knew about myself. So here I am and I'm feeling like, why am I here then if I can't even answer
and
a simple mathematical?
And you start doubting things?
And then you have all these other young people, so vibrant, on some. Yes, yeah, I know the answer. Me.
Lesego's coming to you, giving you macaroons.
Like, okay, there you go. And even then, just, you know, then everything else just seems like it's going left. Because then socially, you know, she's there, but we both were. It's very funny how at OLAG, we're still friends, but we still had our own.
People didn't think we were friends, we were like because we never hung out together.
We had other circles
because
we were
so different,
you know. So before then, though, I literally, there was a time where I just felt alone. I felt like, okay, then who's here? Like when everyone started that first month, everyone knows who they're gonna sit with, and I'm like, yo, who? And it's like, yo, and you start crying because you're like, oh my God, no, like this can't be my life. I came here, I had all these, I have sisters, like why not them? Like, but they also scattered into their own cliques. So for me, it was really difficult, like just the adjustment into the academy. But you know.
But then that's why I have to say the biggest investment or the greatest thing that Mom Oprah did with the school, it's not lending her name to it, it's not donating the money, but the fact that you even said she was available to talk
to
you.
Very available.
Or to talk at you and tell you,
you're
out of it, girl. Like, she was there at every point of our lives. I remember everyone knew the struggle with Given academically. It wasn't a secret. You know, and it wasn't something she kept a secret, but Mom Oprah used to come and be like, do you think Given is doing well? Lesego, have you spoken to Given today? So it was that culture that she was always right there with us. And I think it was also, and people thought that she didn't show up. Mom Oprah, for the first few months of the school, she was always there every day, making sure linen was cleaned, making sure the food we were getting was right.
Every single thing.
Like, people don't realize the amount of thought she put into cutlery, into toilets, into linen, into what the walls would look like. When I woke up in the morning and the color of the walls made me so happy. They were like orange and green and
vibrant.
And she was like, I wanted you to wake up and feel like you were in a playroom and you weren't in a school.
Yeah.
At some stage, I felt like, this ain't a school.
No.
Folks, I have to say, I'm sorry. I work for Gareth Cliff, a man who I have admired for the longest of time, for his career and what he has done in the media world.
He's amazing.
And now I'm in the media world myself and I get to work with him. So there are moments where he will call me and I see caller ID Gareth Cliff, like, yo, Gareth Cliff's calling me. So how does it feel when you're just checking your email and it says Oprah Winfrey's messaging me? Yeah. I'm sure you had those moments.
You know what? It feels because the thing is, for me, I, you know, still keep contact and everything to see. Maybe she'd also send emails back at times. And it's nothing. You can never get used to it.
No.
To tell you the honest truth, like, to be honest, like, I know it's like, okay, it's Mom Oprah, hey. But for her to have taken time out to just be like, okay, hey, Given, hope you all love. And I'm just like, wait a minute. How many people, including people I really admire, like celebrities, are sending her emails and mine is in between. And she's just like, hey, Given, hope you well. You know,
she could be deciding to have lunch with the Obamas.
True.
She could be in Maui. She could be changing the world in some way.
I mean, I remember after we did the, you know, when we were recording the Building a Dream, that moment when I actually start crying, That was real. Like, people... So, like, did you
nothing
plan?
Nothing was staged.
Did you plan to cry? I'm like, nothing that was staged. Real because everything I had gone through at the academy came back. Everything that people had ever said to me, whether it's, you need to stop crying and get to work, or you're not going to make it, or keep trying, you know? Everything literally just came rushing back. And I remember, you know, just in that moment of embrace and everything, she was like, you know what? Let's go to my house. You need to get something to eat. I was like, hallelujah. Let's go.
Do you remember those moments?
Let's go.
Because people don't realize that whenever she came to South Africa, she had a house on campus. Yeah. It was down the road.
Yeah. Okay.
And then they'd be like, oh, dinner at Mom Oprah's house. And we'd be like, what? Let's go eat. Just walk down the streets of living and...
Oh, yes, that's another thing I love about the campus. They're different. Yeah, the streets are named. The streets of living
is where the dorms are, and then the streets of learning is where the classrooms and the library is. So if anyone has seen the video or the school, you'll see they even have signs for it.
That is
like
amazing.
Streets of living, streets of learning.
Yeah.
But ladies, you excelled.
Yeah.
You didn't just succeed.
We excelled.
And you excelled. Yeah. And it wasn't easy by any margin.
No.
But you made it.
Yes.
So when that day came in 2011, when you walked across that stage in those white dresses,
yes,
and you sat on that stage, and I'm sure, I think it was a very unique experience as you looked out and you saw your family, the teachers,
everyone,
and everyone there, sitting at that moment, and you... go back to being 12 and you go back to being 13 years old and you're like, I've made it.
I did it.
How does that moment even feel? How can you even put that moment into words?
I think for me, listen, okay, I won't say, I cry a lot. Like, I'm very emotional. Like, the smallest things just,
just make
me
you cry.
Crying. And things like that, which are very close to my heart, like my struggles and, you know, my efforts and my performance, you know, that moment for me was just like, okay, not like during the actual graduation, but that evening when I was back home, I literally was just like in tears because I was like, wow, like I did it. I remember watching the news and the graduation was on the news and I was just like, yo, I was there. That like I was one of those girls. Mm. And there were so many times where I would cry because of the question, will I make it? And I had. So that was just like, oh my God, I did it. I can do it. Like, whatever it is, I want to, I really can. Because that's what you realize at the end of it all, that no matter how much struggle you went through, no matter how much pain, no matter how much, you know, you had these ups and downs, at the end of the day, if you put your heart, your mind to it, you will get it done.
But, you know, that's an interesting point. Yeah. To be in, but isn't it slightly stressful as well when you are told that you can be anything you want to? You can do anything you want to.
It's been stressful for me now. Like after, like during varsity, it was like, okay, I'm still on the path. I'm still doing it. And then right after leaving varsity and graduating, and my dad is like, oh my God, yes, this is what we wanted.
This is the time.
I'm still, I feel like, I'm waiting. I feel like I'm not done yet. I'm still waiting for the moment where I'm sitting at the table where the decisions of the world are being made. And I feel like I have not gotten there. Like, even though the school is over, I still want to carry the ethos of the school throughout my life. I've started working now. I have a bigger picture. I don't want to just be rich and live in a big house. I want, when people talk about me, if ever I do pass away anytime, I want people to be like, Lesego made a difference. It may not have been colossal. It may not have been a million rand or anything like that. But I want people to be like, she did something. So I guess that's the part of the stress where now that you've been given the opportunity to excel, where do you go from there? You've excelled. You've done what you set out. You said you're going to go to school. You said you're going to finish. What now?
But I guess as well, your vision changes.
Yes, it does.
Because when you're in an environment like that, it's not just about, okay, I'm at school, I've done it. It's now, you know, Mom Oprah said herself, she wanted each girl to leave knowing who she is. And it's that internal pressure of wanting to find yourself, deciding what to do and go out there and how own to do it.
You know, the thing is, when you say that, it's funny because I think that's my struggle now, you know. There was pressure then, but no, listen, it's pressure now. Is now. Because even though there's just so many... The beauty of life is that you never stop learning. You never stop growing. Everything you is never teachable. But the beauty of being at the academy is that the lessons through experience, through the talks, is what you carry through the entire time.
Mm.
So I was dealing with one challenge then and I'm dealing with another now. Mm-hmm. You know, graduates, you know, getting my paper on the 31st. Yes, hello. You know, I have my degree. But that's not it. I had plans because I want to keep pushing. Mm-hmm. I had plans. I'm going to go to UJ. I'm going to do my honors degree in industrial psychology. And then I'm going to do my master's. And then time for that to happen. And you don't have the funding.
True.
We are full. You can't do it. And I'm just like, what now? Stand still.
Mm.
And at the time, you're applying for jobs as well because they're like, you know, keep your options open. You never know. Career 24 here and there, but I had set out a goal. I had worked. I worked. I made sure I got the grades. But even then, the grades were not good enough.
It was never
about the grades. Now it's not about them. It's like, okay, so you said you were
going to
do this.
What are you going to offer
What
the
are you
world?
Going to offer now? So I'm like totally bitter. But as humans, you go through so many phases in your life where you're like, I have a purpose in this world. That was my biggest frustration, that I've had so many great things happen. I've come across so many great people. And here I am. This can't be it. I can't be sitting at home like this. Like, this is not my purpose. This is not what I should be doing. So what now? Never stop.
I can't even put myself in your shoes. Because the mere fact that at 12 and 13, your life was changed to the point where...
Yeah.
Your vision was now more than you could have ever imagined.
Exactly.
And now you find yourself after going through this
experience
unlike any other.
Mm. And
how do you even refocus and create a new vision?
Because
you've never pictured yourself at this point right now.
Yeah. You know what? You can never really... It's easy for people to say, so how will you... It's funny when you actually go through it.
Yes.
Going through it is the only way you will know how... You will be able to deal, to come out, to learn from it.
Mm.
Because the key is to always keep your values intact. To always understand your intention, what it is that you want to do. Because you will fall. I will not lie. You will fall. There will come a time where tears galore, okay? Like, tears galore. But in the midst of all that, the fighting spirit is there. It'll never die. So then it's just back to the drawing board.
Lesego, has this experience made you all closer? Because I would assume nobody actually understands what any of you have gone through except the girls who've gone through OLAG.
Exactly.
I think when we were at OLAG, the experience made us closer. We were very close when we were at OLAG.
Because you go home for holidays.
Yeah.
You know, after you've been told you are great and you go down the street of living and learning and there are macaroons. But now you go to the realities of seeing maybe the girl you went to school with pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Maybe someone passes away.
Yeah.
And all of these realities are back in the world that the majority of South Africa lives in.
True. That's what, like when she was talking, that's what I wanted to bring up, is that when we were together, our visions were somewhat similar.
Mm-hmm.
When we left high school and we became adults, in a sense, everyone changed. Someone that I was very close to in high school, and I was like, our visions are the same. You and I were on the same path. I realized that that person's thoughts, those person's dreams are not my own. And I think for a lot of the girls... And the reality is, we are special. Like, people think older girls, we are special, but we are still girls. We are still human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Some of us have gotten pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
Some have gotten married. Some have moved into foreign countries.
Mm-hmm.
We are still human. We still make human mistakes. And a lot of us, the relationship has disintegrated in terms of the fact that we don't really see each other anymore. But I remember every time we get a lot, like when we get together for like functions at school, like career days or anything, it feels like that we never first time.
Yeah.
It's like, I haven't seen you in 5 years, but like,
the jokes are still the same.
The jokes are still the same. Everything still makes sense. But then I remember we're going through something right now with one of the students that we went to school with. She's going through the most in her life. And it's playing out on social media so much. And everyone's like, oh, but she's an Oprah child. I'm like, but you forget that she's human first.
Yes.
She was not always going to be an Oprah child forever. She needs to make her own way in her life. That's the journey she needs to go through. And unfortunately, Oprah can't control that. All the dreams and hope, they cannot control that. We all needed to go through our own journey. Like, I've become, if you ask her now, I've become such a social recluse. Like, I'm not on social media. I don't really talk to any of the girls all that much, because I've become like I've become so much into myself now. I'm working on what I want to be, and if anyone else sees that and they work on that for themselves, that's great. I'm not trying to change the world. I'm just trying to change me. And I feel like every girl at the academy wants that for themselves. We wish each other well, but I feel like the focus now is me and what I want to do. And it may seem selfish, but
I don't think it's selfish, but also I think that is exactly what the ultimate intention was for the school. You know, not to create carbon copies of people, not to go out there and have mini Oprahs, but it is to be your best.
Exactly.
And whatever that means, and wherever you go, and whatever you do. And that is what I feel is absolutely powerful. Lesego, you're now working.
Yes.
Given you've just graduated. When's your graduation ceremony?
Like, next week, Monday!
I'm leaving on Monday.
She's leaving on Monday.
Oh, okay. Halala shine. Halala shine. Halala.
Won't he do it though?
Won't he just
Did
do it?
Did you think we'd ever have degrees? I didn't think so.
Yeah, well, that is what I was saying earlier. Your visions are now unlike anything else.
Exactly.
When you look back on things now in retrospect, what is, how would you sum up your OLAG experience
in a word or several words?
Several words. Because sentences.
It was in essence life altering,
life changing.
Because when I was at OLAG, I saw for myself for who I really was.
Okay, you saw yourself
for who I really was. When I was at OLAG, when I was at OLAG, I saw the person that, not that the person that I wanted to be or the person that people thought I should be. I saw the person that I am. I saw the journey when I was at OLAG. I saw it. I was like, this is the path that I was going to go on. I may not have seen at every single point what was going to happen, but when I was at OLAG, I was like, this is the person that I am. And therefore, when I went back home, I became that person. Whether or not anybody else liked it or not, there was, I didn't care at that point.
And you know, that is what I wish people would get from this conversation today. Because, you know, I remember when the school was being established, people were saying, well, why is Oprah only investing in girls?
Why not?
And how's it even possible that it's only a few girls when there's so many suffering in South Africa? For me, it's not, from as an outsider, it's not just about these four walls that make up a school or classroom. It's about the energy and the spirit of what that classroom stands for that we should all adopt. When you are told, and I see you today standing as examples of who you really are and your authentic self, I use that in turn to be inspired to be my best version as well. I didn't go to OLAG. My goodness, I would need a sex chain and a time machine to go and be like 12 years old again. But it's about taking that energy and that spirit and bringing it into my own life. Given, what about you? What did the school mean to you?
I mean, I think she said life-altering. For me, it was just life-changing completely. You know, I had always understood that there's something special, but it was never really put to the test. Like, it was never really out there for me to see and recognize in my struggles, in my successes, and you know, everything that I was exposed to. And with the academy, you know, I was able to... I'm like, I literally am that person. We could be somewhere and I'd be like, wow, given what is this here to tell you? What is this here to the teach tables. You? You know, and it was in every experience, whether it was the first time going and watching The Lion King, sitting VIP section. What is this here to tell you? What is this here to teach you, you know, experiences, struggles? And so for me, every day is a chance to be better as an individual, to improve. For me, it's, you know, for Lesotho, it's about her and, you know, trying to get to that place. But for me, it's more than that. It's about working on myself well enough to be able to be there for the family and eventually be able to give back to my community. Because I understand that the reason why we receive the opportunities we receive is so that we can use them in however much you can, really, to give back to that community or school or whatever. And so for me, the school has really just groomed me into this person who's always trying to think, what next? With challenges on the way. Okay, there's challenges. What next? What should you do next? You can't stop. You can never stop. You can never, never, never stop. You know, you're going through the most. You don't have a job. What next? You know?
And that is the power of being in an environment like that. No one can take that away from you.
No, listen.
And the more OLAG girls are produced, yes.
You were never ready.
The world.
You were never. Much better place. Because, you know, I think one of the things I can just share is just how worried everyone was, including Lesotho, you know, and my mother. Because it's very stressful when you've always been told that you have the power, you have the resources, you can do it, go out there and get it done. And suddenly everything is like standstill. And I'm like, I know I have the power. Yeah. I know, but this is the reality at the moment, you know? So in just bringing myself back up, it was just like, you know what? The aim is to never stop. And that just goes for anybody. It doesn't matter what it is you're going through. Cry about it at night. Wake up in the morning. Do what you need to do in order for you to be able to get to where you want to be. And that I learned from the academy. Because had it not been for my struggles then, I wouldn't be able to deal with my struggles in the present moment. Which is a very, like, it's a reality for me. I'm a graduate, unemployed, looking for work. I know I have potential. I know there's much that's expected of me. But what do I do now? And the thing is just to keep moving. Go back to the drawing board. See what you can do, you know? Because you have to start somewhere. True. We all have to start somewhere.
You're not above anything.
Exactly. So for me, it's really just like those fundamental lessons that I learned then are really what's helping me to go through this phase now.
True.
That's the beauty of the academy. That's what it was able to do.
Oh, yeah.
Now, imagine if I didn't go to the school and I still, you know, did well, you know, went to university. I don't think I would probably be dealing with my struggle the way that I am now. I probably would be thinking, oh, my God, no.
This is it. This is the end.
You know what? This is the end. I may as well just sit at home, you know, maybe just, you know, I don't know, my mother, you know, see what she can do. But it's not for me. It's life is a battle. You have to always fight. You become victorious. There's always something else on the way. And
what's your definition of being victorious now?
Oh, wow. Going through it and still being able to come out strong. You don't have to win. Just coming out stronger than you were going in. Wiser than you were.
Wow.
So that's my definition of victorious, because I haven't won every battle. If I did, I wouldn't be saying I'm an unemployed graduate. I'd be saying, listen, things went my way. You never really are going to get it. But this battle I'm victorious because I was able to rise above it, become stronger and wiser.
Lesotho, what's your definition of dreaming big?
My definition of dreaming big. I think everyone's got a different dream. Everyone's got different aspirations and realities and whatever. But I think my definition of dreaming big is just when you do have those dreams, understand them for what they really are. When you dream about driving a car and a certain type of car, that shouldn't be the end goal. Mm. You should be understanding what is it going to take for me to drive an Uno first before I drive a Maserati? What is it going to take for me to get a back room before I buy a home? You understand? So I think that's, you can, everyone dreams big, but you need to understand the nitty gritty of the dream, that they don't just poof, there's no magical cloud that happens what and poof, they're there. So for me, dreaming big is, it's great to dream big, but are you ready for the consequences of dreaming big? So when you're ready for the consequences, I think you'll realize your dream, that sometimes you're going to have to be crushed down on your way to that dream. And are you ready to face that? People are going to say no. Like, I was a graduate and I wasn't, and like, I remember when I started working, I was not getting paid where I was working. Nothing. And my dad was like, "But uruterile." And I was like, these are the consequences of my dream. I want to get to a certain place, and it's going to take not getting paid for me to get there. So I guess that's realizing the dream, is accepting the consequences that,
that
come with it.
That is building the dream.
Yeah,
that is building the dream. Ladies, this is the last question I have for you. I can't believe, like, we've been sitting here forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
But this is the biggest thing that I'd like to know from you. You know, there are so many labels that have been bestowed on you, whether willingly or just, you know, one can look at you and just say, oh, it's a South African. Oh, no, it's a black girl. Oh, it is someone who has academic talent and leadership potential, and they came from a household with less than 8,000 rands per month, and they went to Oprah's school, and oh, they have Oprah on speed dial. Oh, now they're an Ola graduate.
Yeah.
But what is the label you have on yourself? And what is the narrative of your own life?
Oh, God.
He did throw it at us. He did, he did.
That's the last question that I've done out of your hair.
Okay, I'm not sure if I am answering the question, but I will say this. I remember the first time we met Mom Oprah. She said, when someone shows you who they really are, believe them the first time. So for me, I want people, whenever they see me, regardless of where I am, I want them to see the real Lesego. So wherever I go, I don't want people to be like, she felt like, If I'm loud and obnoxious, which I kind of am, I want you to see that. I'm not going to dumb it down. I'm not going to hide who I am to make you feel comfortable at all, at all. I'm always going to be the best version of myself that I can be. I'm going to be loud and spunky and fun, sometimes a little bit mean. And that's who I am. So whenever you meet me, I want you to feel like, whether you liked it or not, you got who I really was. I want you to understand that Lesego o sona, and I never change
it.
And that I feel like that for me is answering the question.
I hear what you mean. Because what you're basically saying is, beyond any other title, just see who I am.
Just and I'm see not perfect, who I am.
And I may have flaws, and you may not like me, but that's who I am.
That's just who I am. And whatever title you decide to put on it, that's really up to you.
Oh, but I like the title of, you know, 100% pass rate, you know.
Hello!
Founding class. And yeah. All that. Maybe I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, that's really also amazing. But just whomever you feel that I am for you, because I'm different people for different people in my life. So whomever I am for you, I hope that person
and
you experience
is authentic.
You're not one-sided.
Everyone has several
different
aspects.
Different facets. So I hope whichever Lesego you get, Lesego changes your life, and that Lesego is amazing, and she's sparkly all the time.
And what about you, Miss Given?
The pressure, yo.
Hello. You see why it's good to go fast?
Because you are sitting here calculating. Yeah, minus one, carry the four.
What am I going to say?
Carry the four over. Now you need to think.
I think for me, more than anything, it's not a word, but I think young woman on a mission. Is how I would describe it. You know, I've listened. Life has thrown stocks, honey. You know, rocks. Who's I get to stocks? Sorry,
rocks.
English.
Englishmen. Things
life,
kill
life
you.
Has really just done a couple of things. But I am a woman on a mission.
Hello.
Whether it is academically, whether it is socially. Whether it is, I don't know, what are the, but for me, it's always about becoming better. How can I become better than I was yesterday? How can I become better than I was 10 years ago? You know, And in everything that I do everything with heart.
Mm-hmm.
I will love you with all my heart. I will be dedicated and committed to your friendship or to my family or whatever, you know. Relationship, not so much. Not yet.
Hey, you suck at those.
But, you know, committed to what my promise is to you.
Mm.
Just like I've made a promise to myself regarding my future that I will become great and in turn use that greatness to empower other young people to become great. Is as much as I'm going to commit myself in the same way to my family, to my friends, to my finances, because you need those things to be able to survive. So for me, in everything, in my spiritual life, you know, I'm a woman on a mission. I am working towards becoming a better me each and every single day so that no matter what comes my way, I'm still able to rise above it either way. Whether it's life, whether it's your career or it's your friends, you know that, okay, you know what? This is how you should go about it. This is how you deal. Never stop. Keep moving.
It's so fascinating, but that for me is what a leader is.
Yeah.
Someone who keeps on going.
Yeah.
Someone who sticks to their guns.
Yeah.
And someone who's constantly evolving and learning.
Precisely. Yeah.
Yo. Clips once for Oleg.
Good dip.
Thank you.
Dip.
Ladies, thank you so much.
Pleasure.
Thank you.
Because you two have taught me so much more. You've opened my eyes on so many things.
Mm.
And you, more than anything, have shown me and are a true example that you are the product of... not of your circumstances,
yes,
but are a product of your choices.
Exactly.
Because whatever may happen to you, whether you may go to Oleg, whether you may not, whether your father was there, whether your father was,
not, whatever
may happen,
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, it's all about the decision and the choice you have.
Mm-hmm.
And that is what a true leader is.
Yes,
definitely.
And that is what building a dream is all about.
Yes.
I thank you so much for sharing this last edition of the show with me.
Thank you for having us.
I think you ended it very well.
She says ever so modestly.
Listen, I'm anything but modest.
Ever so modest. So well that you spent it with me. What a grand way to end your show. But... Miss Lesego, Miss Given, all the best with your future.
Thank you.
No, I watched that first graduating class of Oleg, mm-hmm. and Mom Oprah says she may not be able to pinpoint, I mean, I'm paraphrasing her, she may not be able to pinpoint exactly what all of you will do, but she can say that she's ready to be amazed and now fully know what she means.
Yeah.
So I thank you so much for reiterating that point and for also ending off this amazing journey that I've been on right here on cliffcentral.com with Untapped Talent. So you made it ever so amazing. And so most especially though, thank you for listening. We've been through this every single Friday from 9 till 10 a.m. And you've been listening as I learn along the way and I chat to these amazing people, and I hope that in whatever comes on next you share the journey with me. So the very last time, my name is Sia and I'll see ya.
Untapped Talent on cliffcentral.com.